This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And today I'm exhorting you in the name of the Lord that you pray with us and stand with us in praying for revival in this last day. Revival that will sweep across the nation around the world. A revival that will awaken many here to this pending danger spoken of in God's Word, revealed to us of this terrible apostasy and falling away here at the end of the age. This awful period of the church drifting into a state of lukewarmness where it would not be acceptable unto the Lord. Surely Jesus spoke of that to us in the book of Revelation, speaking to the church at Laodicea. Are you praying? You should be. Well, we're going to look a little farther today into the conditions, especially here, and to the character of these last day apostate teachers that will be emerging, that will be marching right out into the forefront here in these days. And you can mark my words that surely you're going to see what I've been telling you here for the past month that's going to come to pass, and what we're going to see in a flood tide of last day apostate teachers denying the Lord, denying the blood of Jesus, denying the common salvation in their very doctrines of heresy. Well, let's look at what Jude had to say about these last day apostate teachers too. Verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now surely that corresponds to what Peter had to say about this end-day apostasy. Now, here it is the common salvation that's the subject matter, exhorting the people of God to hold on to, exhorting them to get a hold of that common salvation and stand with Jesus and really walk with God and don't let this slip from them. Well, surely Peter foresaw it, and he just described the same thing in another way. But we look at the comparisons and we can see something is under attack, the common salvation. Peter talked of them denying the Lord that bought them, denying the blood of Jesus, an attack against salvation. Now this horde of last day apostate teachers are going to be against the common salvation. Now, their teaching will tear salvation to shreds. It will tear down the blood-washed experience to shreds. It'll hit a blow at being born again of the Spirit, washed in the blood, sanctified, and set apart from God. It'll tear it into shreds. Surely, it's going to be that kind of a last-day message coming forth by a horde, by heaps of last-day teachers, where people having itching ears heap unto themselves this kind of teachers, men who are of corrupt minds, men who resist the truth, men who are reprobate concerning the faith, bringing men and women to that place where they have no love for the truth, and where they don't believe the truth, but rather have their pleasures in unrighteousness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth, men reprobate concerning the faith. Well, this is why these apostles warned us. Now, you see, this is not just something that Brother Daly's warning you about. The Bible warns you about it. Surely the apostles warned us that at the end of the age, we could expect this flood tide, these heaps of great hordes of last-day apostate teachers that would bring a state of apostasy to the church, bringing it into lukewarmness to where the Lord would spit it out of his mouth. Well, look on now, and you'll understand why he wrote concerning the common salvation. He said, "For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, now he said there's certain men crept in. Well, Peter saw those men creeping in, and Peter said, like there were false prophets, there's going to be false teachers in the last day. And Peter surely told us that these false teachers in their coming would bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, these men now have crept in, and they are going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, what on earth is lasciviousness? Now, I want you to know it's not breakfast cereal. I want you to know this is not something you want a picture of to hang up there in your living room, unless you're an old lust feast or something, you know. We realize that turning the grace of God into lasciviousness is a turning away from the things of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God that are so precious unto us, and turning to the carnal things of the flesh. It is fleshy, it is hot, lewd, lustful. My, when we think about it, men turning the grace of God into something else. Now, men walking after the flesh. Now, this whole last day program that denies Christ, this whole last day program that causes this great falling away, this whole last day program now that brings men into this state of lukewarmness where they boast, "I'm rich, I have need of nothing." My, when we stop to think now what's going to bring it, surely right here it's foretold they're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. My, think about that. Now, surely turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, what on earth then are they going to bring into the church? I mean, what on earth is going to happen to promote things like this? Turn the grace of God right around. Well, first of all, maybe we in our study, maybe we then in our rightly dividing the word of truth, could look for a moment and see what we would expect the grace of God is supposed to accomplish. And then we'll know what it won't accomplish here when they turn it around and might deny the grace of God and turn it into lasciviousness. Look at how Paul looked at the grace of God in writing to Titus in chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Look carefully at these words. Listen carefully as I read them to you. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Now, when we think of the grace of God and what it's supposed to accomplish, teaching us to deny ungodliness, teaching us now to deny worldly lust, to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, you see, here's what the grace of God in the church has worked to do. This is what the grace of God was sent to accomplish. The grace of God to empower us to live for Christ, and to have that inner power, that inner strength, that inner victory to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, to deny these things and live soberly and righteously right here and godly in this present world. Now, this grace of God was sent then that God might, through His grace, purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good work, a people that He has redeemed from all iniquity. Well, over here now, Jude is saying to us something different now, isn't he? He's saying in the last days they'll turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And suddenly the teaching will be just what Paul said it shouldn't be. Now, the teaching that turns the grace of God into lasciviousness will be teaching men then to live ungodly and to follow worldly lusts and not to live righteously and soberly, be drunken with these things of the world. Well, my, we've got to realize now, we're warned about this, that these last day teachers, this heap of teachers that's going to come here at the end of the age and bring in such an apostasy among men, surely we've got to realize now what they're going to be like. Well, they're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're going to go the way of the flesh. They're not going to walk in the Spirit nor walk after the Spirit of God. They're going to deny the blood. They're going to deny this basic experience. And if you'll listen, God will prepare your heart and mind that when these men emerge and begin to teach, you're going to note it right away because you've been made aware that this is coming and it's been foretold. And I didn't wait till this thing came and blossomed like a rose and I said, now there it is. I'm telling you in advance. I'm telling you by the Word of God and by revelation of the Holy Spirit that we can see this. It's going to come to pass. Father, I pray that you'd quicken the Word today and make it real and alive in our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I'm going to exhort you again in the name of the Lord to pray and seek God. Yes, and pray for revival in these last days. Pray that we'll be spared from being caught up in this awful falling away that's just ahead right here ahead of us. Let's keep our eyes open and let's be watching. Certainly, there's a falling away. It's coming. It's already begun. Let's get prepared. Let's pray. Let's seek God to move. Let's pray that God will raise up a standard here in this last day for us, that we'll be able to stand in the midst of this flood tide. Well, I'm going back to the book of Jude today, and I certainly want to remind you again of the vision the Lord showed me standing there by the seashore. Looking out at the peaceful water, it looks so peaceful. It just looks so innocent. I stood there just admiring it when I saw it in the vision. It just made you feel like you wanted to wade right in. It just looked so calm and peaceful. Well, like standing right on the seashore looking out into the sea. Yet when you walked in, the undertow was so treacherous that it would suck you right under, and you could not get out of it anyway. And yet it looked so innocent. And how God spoke to me in that vision about this treacherous work of Satan that he was beginning to do. The most subtle, the most treacherous work that he's ever done. Well, I look at that vision and surely realize as God showed me the meaning of it concerning this last day and this falling away. Now, I bring you back to that to bring this point up. Now, it looks so innocent. It looks so innocent, and yet it was so treacherous. In looks and appearance, you should get right into it. In looks and appearance, oh, it's just the real move of God. In essence, it's so treacherous that once you get in it, you can't seem to ever get back out of it. It makes you apostate.
it brings you into a state of denying the Lord. It brings you into a state of denying the blood of Jesus, rejecting the real basis of our salvation. Well, I want to look at these scriptures again now, and I want to go back with you and look. It's not a bit harmful to you to have me maybe say some of these things several times and go from one scripture to the other several times and putting this together, that it might stay in your mind and arm your mind with the truth that will help you to stand and withstand this evil flood tide of lukewarmness that's emerging in the world and beginning to happen even now. Well, let's look now at this thing being treacherous, yet look innocent. Now, I'm going to go back where we left off yesterday, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we see that subtle thing, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Cease from preaching spiritual things and preach carnal things. Preach things which appeal to the flesh but may not appeal to the spirit. You know, when we look at the kind of teaching that we need to hear, surely the message of God is meant to clean you up, to purify you. But this will be like a permissive message that certainly will just teach and glorify the things of the flesh rather than the things of the spirit. It'll turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now that's subtle. My, it'll sound as smooth as oil. And it'll fit well with many men, because after all, if you preach against sin, you alarm many men. Oh, Ma, I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to this. I mean, if I can't have my cake and eat it too, I don't want it. You know, and the teaching will go right along with the flesh. Now, he said it this way in Peter's writing. Peter said it in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, these false teachers coming in among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Their ways are hurtful. It looks good. It sounds good. It'll seem good to many. But the end product will be a rejection of the Lord. The end product of their doctrine will be to get you to deny the Lord, even as they deny the Lord, and they'll deny the Lord in their teaching. They'll deny the Lord by experience. And surely you and I have got to watch. That's the end product. That's how subtle this thing will really be. Now, I'm going to show you just a little bit farther how subtle this thing really is by going back again and looking at the words of the Apostle Paul. And here's what will happen. Paul said this, and I remind you again, we went over this before, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Now you see, that's the flesh, not the spirit, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Tell us more about this living after the flesh. In your teaching, make it clear that a little adultery is all right. Make it clear there's nothing wrong with anything. Make it clear to us that we can perfectly walk after our natural, fleshy man, and everything will be fine. We'll just love you, we'll follow you, and we'll just heap a lot more teachers just like you unto ourselves. That's what they'll be saying. Well, he said this now, the time would come when they wouldn't endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, heap teachers having itchy ears, and this is the bottom line, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, the subtle thing about this last day apostate move is right there. It's going to be fleshy teaching. It's going to cause men now to have itching ears, tell us what we want to hear, not what we should hear, not what we need to hear, but you tell us what we want to hear, and we'll follow you. Well, now he said what they're going to do, and this is a subtle thing, it's going to cause them to turn away their ears from the truth. And surely they're going to do what Jude said. Then when they turn their ears away from the truth to follow these men, well, surely what's going to happen is they're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, teachers here are spelled out then in clear terms, walking after their own lust. Teachers are spelled out here then following this way of turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, the bottom line then, they'll turn their ears away from the truth. Now, Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, made it clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he talked about this falling away. And he went on down in verse 10 to describe the reason and this old Antichrist arising in the world. And the reason why he could arise and come was because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now you see, this turning the grace of God into lasciviousness is going to cause men not to have a love of the truth. They're going to love this fleshy teaching. Now it'll all be fleshy teaching. It'll be teaching that will be permissive. We talk about a promiscuous society today. There's going to be a promiscuous church, and the teaching will be promiscuous. You can do what you will, and it's all right. Nothing will be wrong with nothing. And that kind of fleshy teaching, they will do just what the Scripture said. They're going to receive not the love of the truth. Now, when you lose your love for the truth, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with God. Now, God's way is truth. The Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes unto the Father but by me. Now, he is the truth. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to follow the truth. You must stay with the truth. And the Scriptures are the truth. It's not the truth according to Brother Daly. It's not the truth according to Brother anybody. It's the truth according to the Scriptures that's going to save you, that's going to bring eternal life. And after all, having a religion that's promiscuous, what good is that? Having a religion that makes everything sound good and easy to the point where you can just do anything you want to and it's all right, sure, but the end product is you're going to lose out with God. You're not going to make heaven. You won't have eternal life. You'll be an apostate void of truth. No love for the truth. Well, you see, that's the product that comes of all of that. Well, surely God's word would make it clear then. Well, God says he would send them strong delusions that believe and let them believe that lie. And men are going to be deluded into believing the lies of these false teachers here at the end of the age. Be deluded into that. Well, today, you've got to have a love for the truth. You've got to believe the truth. You've got to base your experience on the truth of the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said. For in them you think you have eternal life. You look at that. That's his word in John 5:39. Search the Scriptures. Go by the Scriptures. Go by the message of God's word. Go by the old-fashioned Scriptures. They're what make you wise unto salvation. They haven't changed with the age. And they won't change with the modernist, with the lukewarmness of this last day. Surely the Scripture's going to stand right there, firm and strong, for you and I to stand on. And if we'll stand on it, it'll hold us up. Father, I pray today that you might awaken us to the need of prayer and supplication in seeking you to move in this last day and keep us from going down this awful road of lukewarmness, this falling away that's before our faces. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on our program today, I want to continue on with this message dealing with this last day apostasy, this great falling away foretold of the Apostle Paul, that period of time when many would go apostate, deny the Lord, deny the blood of Jesus, as the Lord himself spoke to me and said, reject me. Well, today we want to go on talking about this. I think it's very important, and to you who will listen, certainly take the forewarning that we are going to see great hordes of last-day teachers emerge right here in this hour and right on forward, that's going to bring the church into this awful state of lukewarmness and falling away till they'll be so unacceptable, so lukewarm, that God will spit them out of his mouth. Well, today, I warn you of that. It's here, it's in the making, and we see it now. It's already beginning to emerge, and I want you to know that I'm foretelling this thing coming, and you ought to give ear and pray and seek God. And if you ever prayed for revival, you ought to pray for revival right now. Pray for revival for yourself and for your church, for your whole denomination, for your whole group. Pray there'll be a worldwide revival in the church of Jesus in this last day. My, if something don't happen, brother and sister, you'll all be caught away. Well, I'm going on, and we were dealing with the first two verses here, verse 3 and 4 in the book of Jude, talking about this time as Jude also foretold. Today I want to go on to verse 5, and God points out three things to us here that we have to consider. Now, he gives us three examples. Now remember, all things that are written in the Scripture were written aforetime for our learning. Now, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished with the knowledge which he needs to sustain himself and to stand and to walk with God, we have examples that surely point out to us the way to go and the way not to go. Well, we're going to look at these three examples today. Now, the first example here in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. My, think about that. He came, and he delivered them right out of the land. Now, he delivered them out of that land of bondage. He brought them into a state, and he brought them into a place where surely they could go on and enter into that promised land and live in that land that flowed with milk and honey and have the fullness of the blessing of God. But my, it's and afterwards, even though he delivered them out of Egypt, he destroyed them in the wilderness. Well, Jude said, now you knew this, now you ought to remember this. Well, what happened to that generation? Now, where did they fail? Well, the writer in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, saw it like this. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, they failed altogether in the realm of faith. Now, that's where they failed. No faith. Surely one would have looked and said, what a faithless generation. Now, they were faithless, and in that faithless place they were. Yes, they were delivered out of Egypt, but what good did it do them? They got out there in the wilderness and wandered 40 years until the last of them perished. Now, we certainly can look at the words of the Apostle Paul in him writing in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and the very last phrase in verse 8, talking about men of corrupt minds who resist the truth and saying they were reprobate concerning the faith. Now, Israel was reprobate concerning the faith. They were reprobate concerning faith, period. They had no faith. Now, surely the writer in Hebrews 4:2 said they didn't mix any faith with the promise. And he's saying unto you, you can fall with the same unbelief they did, not mixing faith with the promise. Well, now Jude said, though God delivered them, yet afterwards the same God that delivered them destroyed them in the wilderness. Now that's given as an example of the apostasy of the last day, that though many were once delivered out of the bondage of the flesh, even to walk after the Spirit, now giving ear and listening to these last day false apostles and teachers who will come along turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, preaching a doctrine that would make men feel rich in need of nothing, yet be naked and destitute, certainly poor and miserable and wretched and blind. Well, we realize now that though they once were delivered, they're brought back now to deny the blood and deny the basic experience, and well, where do they wind up? Just like Israel did out there in the wilderness. They turned back and wandered until that whole generation was dead. Well, that's an example. What's it there for? To warn us not to turn back. To warn us we must proceed by faith. We must believe in that atoning blood. We must stand with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and not let no false teachers in this last day cause us to deny the blood, to deny the Lord that bought us. Then he went on in verse 6, and he said, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to be, under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Now, once again, take particular note. Now, here's someone else. They walked with God. They were angels of God. They weren't devils. They were angels. My, we got to understand that. But the scripture said, but they left their first estate. Now, my first estate here is I got saved when I came to the faith. That's my first estate. My, I was born again of the Spirit. My life was changed. My, God saved me, and, well, God led me on and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And God put His blessings in my life. Now, that's my first estate. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to give ear to last day apostates who are going to tell me that that's not valid? Am I going to listen to men who are going to decree now that somehow the blood doesn't matter anymore? That blood-washed experience isn't important anymore? I'm not going to deny this. Look, I was born of the Spirit, washed in the blood, and I'm going to stand on that. I don't care who comes along preaching some smooth, oily, easy way where you can slip right down the banks into hell. My, I'm not going to go along with that, are you? I'm not going to let someone come along and cause me, like the angels, to get up out of heaven and walk away. I mean, picture that in your mind. They were in heaven. They were in the place that you'd like to go to. Why, my, they had a home in the second heaven. That's the angelic home. And my, they got up and walked out of there and look where they are today. Why, Jude said they're reserved under chains of darkness, reserved unto that great day of judgment. My, if angels got up and walked away from the blessing of God and wind up now under this great day of judgment, what do you think is going to happen to you and I if we listen to apostate teachers in this last day try to talk us out of our born-again experience? My, I mean, what's going to happen to us if we turn and listen to those and be led away to walking after the flesh and denying the things of the Spirit of God? What's going to happen to us? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. If we wander out of this good place with Jesus and start following that modern lukewarm crowd, we're going to wind up in hell with them. I mean, you might as well know the truth. And surely the Bible said when you know the truth sets you free. Well, we've got to realize that may sound hard, but look at these angels. Now, look who led them astray. Old Satan himself led them right out of heaven. My, there was just a whole group now, a third of the angels. My, they just left God. They left the blessing of God, and they started following old Lucifer, and look where he's led them. And surely he's going to wind up in the bottom of the pit, right down there in the hottest place of the fire. That's where he's going to wind up. It's already judged. Well, I don't want to follow him. Look, you better keep your experience. Now, don't go after the children of Israel who denied the Lord in that they had no faith and mixed none in the promises, went off in unbelief. Nor don't follow the way of the angels who fell and left their first estate. Now, he goes on and he said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. My, now here's the crowd that follows the flesh. I mean, they lived after the flesh. They walked after the flesh. They pursued the flesh. If it felt good, they said, do it. And, you know, they were that kind of a crowd. Well, look what happened to them. Well, surely they're set forth here now as an example. If you follow these apostate teachers, they're going to lead you to walk after the flesh. They're going to lead you away from the things of the Spirit of God. They're going to cause you to turn your back on the things of the Spirit and walk after the flesh, carnally, sensuously, devilish, and lead you down that avenue. Now, if you follow them, they'll lead you into the same judgment as Sodom and Gomorrah. They'll lead you into the same judgment as the angels that fell. They'll lead you into the same judgment as the generation that fell in the wilderness. My, are we going to make heaven walking after the flesh? You know very well we're not going to make heaven walking after the flesh. Father, I pray today that you'd quicken the word and make it real and make it alive in our hearts and help us to stand in this age of apostasy. Father, give us grace in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast today, I want to go on with this message dealing with this last day apostasy, this great falling away foretold in the Word of God that would take place in this last day. Well, I want to go a little deeper with you today. We're in the book of Jude. We're looking at these last day teachers that will emerge in great hordes on us in the last day. And surely God's letting you know in advance they're coming. And God is letting you know in advance what they're going to be teaching so that you'll be well prepared, that you're not going to forsake your salvation to follow that crowd. Well, today, we want to go on to verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Well, now, yesterday I dealt with three examples, and as we looked at those three examples, the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt, yet perished in the wilderness because of their unbelief, the angels that left their first estate, now bound over in everlasting chains of darkness reserved unto the great day of judgment, and of course Sodom and Gomorrah, the generation who went after the flesh and the things of the flesh, despising anything that was right, surely went down that road of the flesh. Well, they're set forth as an example now of those suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, he said those three examples to bring us in, to cue us in to what these last day teachers would be like, and that the very same thing that was in these three would also be in these last days. Now, it's quite unique to me that if you study out and carefully point these things out here in this last day message here of apostasy, it seems like now then that there's three examples that God follows all the way through, and the last day teachers fulfill all of the previous examples put together. So what one might say, they're three times as bad in the eyes of God and the things that as they do as, you know, the previous generations who went wrong and went apostate. Well, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They're like the men of Sodom. Now, they're apostate teachers. Remember, they deny the faith. They deny the blood. They go after the flesh. Their teaching is after the flesh. and they're compared now as filthy dreamers, defiling the flesh like the men of Sodom. Well, my, in the eyes of God, they don't have a very good reputation then, do they? Well, it says also they despise dominion. Well, I have to kind of consider now. They despise dominion. What about the angels that wandered out of heaven? I wonder what happened. I mean, did they despise dominion? I mean, they walked away from God. I mean, is there any higher authority than God? They despised that dominion of God over them. And my, I mean, Satan must have despised it. And surely, he said, I'm going to make myself above the throne of the Most High. And, well, he was going to go and right there just take over. Well, it said they speak evil of dignities. My lands, what did they do throughout all of their journey in the wilderness? My, old Moses led them out. And I'll tell you, they murmured, and they complained, and they murmured, and they complained, and they murmured, and they complained some more. My, we look at the examples, and surely we can see how important it is that you and I walk after the common salvation. Being saved, being born again, being transformed, renewing our mind, following after the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, in Galatians 5:16. Well, surely that's our walk. Our walk is in the Spirit. Well, we've got to walk in the Spirit. Well, though others would despise and be haughty in their way, it said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Well, my, even this great angel wasn't about to shoot off his mouth and say a lot of things that would cause him to be in a snare. Yet many don't care what they say. Well, today, it says these last day leaders now, it said, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now, these last day of false apostles, of false teachers that emerge coming along now in this last day as heaps and hordes of teachers, certainly they're going to speak evil of things they know not. Now, one thing that's going to be under attack, I've said it all through the series, the blood of Jesus, the atoning blood of Jesus, salvation being purchased of the Lord. Now, that's going to be under attack. You've got to understand that's going to be under attack. And if there's any one thing that I'm going to have to stand on and you're going to have to stand on, if we're going to stand with the Lord in this day, is to know that we're His because we're covered by His blood. Now, I want to read a scripture to you, and I want the essence of it to sink deep into your mind. Now, these false prophets are going to deny the blood, and here, as I read in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now, let that sink in. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're not your own anymore. I mean, you just can't say, I'm my own. Oh, no. Well, he said, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, did you hear what that verse said? For ye are bought with a price. Name the price. Name the price. You were bought with a price. Now your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What was the price? Now, Paul said you're bought with a price. What was the price? $50? $75? $100? $1,000? What was the price? A few rupees? I mean, what was the price? A few shekels of silver? A little talent of gold? I mean, what was the price? You've got to find out now for yourself. What was the price? Well, I'll read you another scripture before I'll even tell you what was the price. Well, I'm going to take you back now and read this verse that Peter said to us in the very first verse of chapter 2 in 2 Peter. Well, it said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought, B-O-U-G-H-T, denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, here it tells us who bought you. All right? Now, they're going to deny the Lord that bought them. What's the price, anyways, of buying a soul? What's the price now, when it gets right down to it, that's referred to in verse 20 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, he said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Now, if that's true in your life, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Who bought you? Well, I think if we compared that to what Peter said, he talked about the Lord who bought them. Now, the Lord bought you. What was the price? Now, if the Lord bought us, what was the price? You got to get that into your mind, into your heart. Now, those who deny the Lord in this last day teaching is going to deny the Lord that bought them. And what is the price? The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. The death of Jesus and his shed blood was the price that God paid to redeem your soul so that he could say, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. You belong to God. Are you going to not deny God? Are you going to reject God with this last day crowd? You belong to him. I mean, are you going to listen to teachers now arising in the world who are going to stand up now and deny that? Deny that the Lord bought you. Deny that you belong to him. Deny that you are not your own anymore. You're his, and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. They're going to walk after the flesh. You're going to deny the Holy Ghost. My, they're not going to preach that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. They'll even deny the Holy Ghost. Brother and sister, you and I got to get a hold of this, don't we? Now, I've only quoted you what I'm reading out of the Word, and these are things the Scripture teaches. I want you to be ready to meet Jesus at his coming. And my, you can't deny that blood. You can't deny that death on that cross to save your soul. Father, quicken this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. And on the broadcast today, I want to continue on with this message taken from the book of Jude. We're looking into now, we're dealing with what this hoard or heap of last day teachers are going to be like, which are going to cause this great falling away of the church, this great spirit of lukewarmness sweeping over that will make the church unacceptable to Jesus at the end of the age. Well, yesterday we were dealing with verse 10. And certainly it brings a lot of truth, and we want to follow that up today. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Well, now, The Word would teach us then these apostate teachers at the end of the age were going to be in this realm. Now, I talked yesterday about they speak evil of those things which they know not, the power of the blood, the things of the Spirit of God. These are things they don't know, so therefore all they'll do is stand up and preach against it and stand and oppose. They'll oppose the atonement. They will oppose the baptism of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, and walking after the Spirit. They'll not get involved in the things of the Spirit. And here's why. I'll jump ahead here in reference to verse 19 here in Jude. It said, "These be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit." Well, you see right now, from the Word, it said they don't have the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. Well, yesterday we talked about you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is His. And know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, these don't have the Spirit. They don't want the Spirit. They're natural men, and it just wouldn't fit into their sinful life. So, these are men now who have separated themselves unto this religious way. But they separated themselves sensual. Now, the Scripture speaks of things being devilish and sensuous. You know, of a wrong spirit on one hand, and yet on the other hand, of the flesh, carnal. Well, of the old nature, of that lower old Adamic nature, of the flesh. They separate themselves that way, but they don't have the Spirit. Now, that's the way the last day apostate teachers are going to be. Well, I'd like to go back and bring some teaching to you here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it deals with us in this sense of, you know, receiving from the Lord and how you receive from the Lord. Well, I'm going to go way back to verse 9 in chapter 2. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, we who have the Spirit, we who have been brought into this realm. First, you know, you get born of the Spirit. That's an entrance into the kingdom where you're a new creature born into the kingdom of God. A new creature. You weren't before. A new creature, a new person now, brought a new life into the kingdom. Born of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Baptized in the Spirit. This now brings us into this relationship. Now, the things that God hath prepared for us never entered into the heart of man. A natural man never understood the things of God, the things of heaven. He couldn't understand. But a man now being saved, born again of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, why, the Spirit itself now would reveal, because the Spirit will search the deep things of God and take them and reveal them and make them real unto us. You know, this scripture was fulfilled in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. You read those two chapters, and you'll see just exactly what Paul's talking about. My, that John was caught up into heaven. He saw that beautiful city. He saw those streets of gold. He saw that throne. He saw all those wonderful, wonderful things. They were revealed. How was they revealed? Well, he was saved and filled with the Spirit, and God made them real unto him. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." My, I know what natural things are as a natural man. Why, I mean, I was a natural man, as far from God as a man could be. I knew what those things were all about, why, surely, but I didn't know nothing about what heaven was about until God made it real to me. Well, they're revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Now, these last day apostate teachers will be natural men without the Spirit of God, without the ability to discern spiritual things. They'll deny the Lord that bought them. They'll turn back. They'll lose their first estate. They'll go back to this old way. And where will they wind up? Natural men. My, I mean, I thank God for the Spirit today, don't you? I thank God for the blood of Jesus today that washes me and cleanses me, and that infilling of the Holy Ghost in my life. Oh, precious God. Well, go on a little farther with me here. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, you see, he said, now, you didn't receive the spirit of the world. Why, brother and sister, we already had that. I mean, what did we have as sinners? We had the spirit of this world. We were as carnal as the day. We were as dead as a doornail, walking in trespasses and sins, separated from God, far from God in that state. Well, when we got saved, we didn't receive the spirit of the world. We received the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God surely being given to us that we might know the things of God. By the Spirit of God, we know the things of God and the things of God that are so freely given to us. Oh, brother and sister, we would have no knowledge of God. We'd have no knowledge of the things that God gave us except the Spirit of God quickened and made real and revealed them to us, even through the Word to reveal them to us. Well, he talks about last day teachers, and well, Jude said it now. These last day teachers, what they were going to do, well, they were going to speak evil of things they know not, but those things which they know naturally as brute beast. Things which they know naturally. Now, how do you understand? How do you compare things to really know? Well, I like to know what's truth, and I want to know what's real, and I want to know what's right, and I know what want to know what saves me and will get me into heaven and assure me of everlasting life. I want to know those truths. I love this truth, and I want to follow this truth. I want eternal life. Don't you? Well, you got to love the truth and pursue the truth. Verse 13 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 goes on, and he said, but what things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, there again now is the distinction that we have between the natural man and the spiritual man. Now, what things we really know, what things I really know, that's important to me, what things I know. Well, I want to know the truth that saves and keeps me from sin. And what things I know, as illustrated here, things which the wisdom of man didn't give me. I mean, I didn't get this from a psychiatrist. I didn't get this from Dr. Brown. I didn't get this, you know, from a university. I got this from the Bible. I got this from the Spirit of God. The wisdom of God is given to us through the Scripture. The wisdom of God is given to us through the Spirit of God. We don't get that by having some degree behind our name. My, we get this from God, freely given to us, who really will receive the Spirit. Well, we don't teach things which the wisdom of man teaches. We have to look a little deeper. It said, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And the Holy Ghost compares spiritual things with spiritual things. I mean, the Holy Ghost teaches spiritual wisdom, then he compares spiritual things with spiritual things. Not spiritual things with fleshy things, and fleshy things with spiritual things. No, they don't mix. They're just totally opposite. Well, look at the next verse. Miss what he's driving at all the way down the line. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now you see, these last day apostate teachers emerging are natural men, not spiritual men. They'll walk after the flesh. Surely, as Jude was describing them, as natural men, as brute beasts, in those things they'll corrupt themselves. It's going to be a fleshy program the whole way through, and you can count on it. Well, be sure and tune in Monday, and we're going to go right on with verse 11. We got three more things we want to really deal with here, and it'll be interesting to you. Be sure and tune in next week. Father, quicken these words today in Jesus' name. Amen.